Happy Monday. A collective sigh, I am sure, across Calgary, whoever's tuned into this program. It's real. Boomer, no longer here. He was not faking you. He was not lying to you. Boomer in the Morning's run is over. Now, I should mention, for those of you that might be disappointed, it's not necessarily your permanent morning show. Going to be musical chairs all summer long. Today, though, my name is Will Nault alongside Logan Gordon. What remains the same and what will always remain the same? The two rocks in the other room, Patrick Dumas and GVP, are here. As per usual, we got a fun show for you today. Lots of guests. And we encourage you to chime in and be a part of the program at 960-960. Logan, have you woken up yet? What's going on?
A bit. I'm getting there. No wonder Boomer left.
Been a minute.
So
eh?
Early.
Been a minute.
Wow.
God.
Surprised Logan. Logan's here, though. I'll give him credit.
Yeah, well, I considered not showing up. And
it's a trek.
God.
Well, he lives really close, too. So
yeah.
There's no traffic. But it's just so early.
It's all good. We're alive. We're awake. And we're happy that you're with us. You can find everything from this program on the Big Show podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon. Subscribe now. Never miss a moment or a guest from the show today and every single day. You can listen on demand, of course, at your own convenience. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll be joined by a Masters winner as the field continues to be stacked and be more impressive at the 2022 Shaw Charity Classic. Plus, coming up in hour number two, we'll recap week four in the CFL with Justin Dunk. Of course, there is one game left on the sked tonight, Toronto and Winnipeg. And a big opportunity for the Argonauts as they sit 1-1 on the year. The East Division apparently doesn't want to win any games. And we'll see if Toronto can take advantage and win their second of the year tonight against the unbeaten Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who come into action at 3-0. The Stampeders, of course, had a bye in week four. They're back in action this upcoming weekend. And what remains the same is we'll be joined on Wednesday by Stampeder head coach Dave Dickinson. Then a fun hour three for you. Jeremy Poirier, Memorial Cup champion and a Flames prospect, will join us to kick off hour three. And then we'll head to Winnipeg and chat with Ken Weeb, as the Jets were a part of what was a fairly busy weekend in the NHL. Rick Bonus officially hired as the third head coach in Jets 2.0 history, a guy with a long history in Winnipeg, of course, was a player, assistant coach, and head coach in the Jets 1.0 franchise, and now he returns to Winnipeg on a multi-year deal. So much for retirement. Rick Bonus is back in Winnipeg, and of course, the Jets had to pivot after Barry Trotz told them thanks. But no thanks. How was the weekend, Logan?
It was good. It was nice to get a couple of days in there and enjoy Canada Day on Friday. And had a good weekend. How about you?
Yeah, it was fun. It was obviously quick. You had the holiday Friday, which was a good day. The weather was very wet. Played golf yesterday. Ooh. And I think my hands are still frozen.
I bet they are.
Here today.
Where'd you hit the links?
Well, our good friends at the Winston.
Oh.
Good spot. If you haven't been before, I strongly recommend it because you're right off Deerfoot Trail, but you would never know it. And it's a good spot. If you have not played the Winston, I would strongly encourage it. In fact, we'll be at the Winston later on this month for the 2022 Jay's Care Celebrity Golf Classic. A lot of Flames alumni will be in attendance, including a ton of other celebrities in support of Challenger Baseball. Challenger lets athletes with physical, developmental, and cognitive disabilities experience being part of a team. You can sign up to golf right now by visiting jayscaregolf.ca.
How'd you shoot?
Pretty well. I haven't played a lot this year.
Yeah.
The afternoon program doesn't allow you to do a lot of golfing.
Not really. Not unless you like those sunset rounds.
Or sunrise rounds.
Yeah.
And then you hurry into the studio to do your show. But no, it's good. I didn't shoot impressively, but I also didn't, it wasn't horrible. So I will.
Did you get caught on the rain?
Yes. It rained pretty much the entire round, yes. But it was nice and light. wasn't a heavy downpour, and there was no lightning or thunder, so it was all good. Just a little wet. You're fine. We're not going to melt. It's just rain. But it was cold.
It's not a warm rain here.
No, it was cold.
As a guy that spent time in Hawaii this year, you know the the warm rains are not ones that we get here in Alberta.
No, and it's supposed to rain majority of this week. So
wonderful.
It's good, though. Our farmers need it. They're not going to complain. Because there will be a point in this summer where we don't get rain for like 3 weeks, and then we're asking it to rain.
That's fair.
We'll take it now. We'll green everything up, and we'll make it happen. Of course, it is 4th of July, south of the border. A ton of day baseball today. The Blue Jays, though, not in action until tonight. They're on the West Coast, beginning a 7-game road trip against the Oakland A's. 7:07 first pitch. All the action right here on Sportsnet 960. You can also watch it on Sportsnet West on television tonight. Alek Manoah on the mound for Toronto. It was a tough weekend for the Jays as they lost 4 of 5. Or is it 3 of 5? They lost
3 of 5.
3 of 5. It felt like 4 of 5 because Saturday and Sunday were no good. But they lost the doubleheader on Saturday, lost on Sunday, and they now go into the week hoping for better things on the West Coast. If you haven't been, speaking of fun activities, a 4-game set in Seattle this weekend.
Never been known to attract many baseball fans to that series, have there?
Certainly, you certainly think
so. Still do the conversion there for that series?
What do you mean?
You just take Canadian dollars.
Oh, I don't think so. Not with the way that the Canadian dollar is.
No, I know. I'm just saying, if they did.
Like maybe 12 years ago.
I thought it was quicker than, I thought even within like 4 or 5 years ago they were doing that. But still, I don't think you care.
Yeah, that's fair. And then we got, the Smart A's are out tonight, this morning, which is good.
Tonight.
Actually, it's 4th of July everywhere, not just south of the border. That's good, yeah. It's not Independence Day in Canada, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, as you say, it means significantly less on this side
like
of the border.
Like I said,
but
we got a Smart A on the text line. It's good. We like to have them.
Sassy this morning.
Couple of texts at 960-960, and can you believe it? I can count 3 of them in terms of no Pinder, question mark.
Wow.
Pinder, I believe, is still on vacation. I believe he's back tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And you will not hear him at this time. He is reunited with his old pal, Pat Steinberg. That is going to be your afternoon programming for the time being. Again, as I told you before to kick off this show, it is a new era. The Boomer Show is over. And a bit of musical chairs here at Sportsnet 960 this summer. This is not your permanent morning show. Pinder and Steinberg, not necessarily your permanent drive show. There's going to be a lot of moving around and different pairings throughout the summer. By the fall, you should have everything locked in. So don't sound the alarm bells just yet. But yes, Ryan Pinder back tomorrow, I believe. And he'll be on at 3 or 4 o'clock. With his pal, Pat Steinberg. Today, it'll be Steinberg back from his vacation. He's back this week, and he's in action or on the air today and in action with Sandra Priscina. So that'll be coming up at about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Some football and, of course, Flames talk as well. As the Calgary Flames getting set for the NHL draft, which is in 3 days. And we'll talk more about the Flames later this hour and into hour number 2. As well. Your texts are always welcome, 960-960. I mentioned it off the top. It is, of course, getting closer to being the time of the 2022 Shaw Charity Classic at Canyon Meadows. It was back in 2021 with limited crowds and tickets. But this year, it's back up to full speed, and we can't wait. Let's hope there's no rain in the forecast for that weekend. But it's happening August 3rd through the 7th. And tons of big names in the tournament field, including Mike Weir and Stephen Ames, who were announced that last week, along with Vijay Singh and Mark O'Meara. Also on that list, a couple of other major winners, Freddie Couples, John Daly, Colin Montgomery, and Patrick Harrington. For more information and to purchase your tickets, head to ShotCharityClassic.com. And it's early, but a pleasure to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Welcome in a major winner. Of course, the 2003 Masters champion and one of the greatest Canadian golfers of all time. Mike Weir joins the program right now. Mike, as always, appreciate the time. How are things?
Yeah, everything's great. It's good to have a week off. but looking forward to getting up to Calgary soon.
Yeah, and we'll get to the Shaw Charity Classic and certainly why you'll be in the city here in a little bit. But just first off on you, I mean, you mentioned nice to have a week off, but overall things have been pretty good for you this season on tour, Mike.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean, I had a good event at the Senior PGA about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Other than that, it's been, you know, kind of just okay. I haven't really broken free here yet, but hoping the second half of the season I play a little bit better.
And you are going to be back in Calgary, as you mentioned, the first weekend in August. Everyone you talk to on the PGA Tour Champions says nothing but good things about the Shaw Charity Classic in Calgary. You made your debut last year. What do you remember about the 2021 edition?
Well, I had heard the same things. I had heard great things, you know, prior, and that being my first time last year playing. You know, I think during COVID, we hadn't seen many fans. It was one of the first events on the Champions Tour that we started to see some fans, and so that was always great. It wasn't the full force of fans that Calgary, that normally has because the tickets were limited last year, but I suspect this year will be all the tickets will be available. They'll come out in full force, and so that got that to look forward to as well. But, the golf course is really good as well. Canyon Meadows, got a great city, and I think all the guys really enjoy coming to Calgary.
Did you have much, overall, just even going back to your childhood, Mike, much time in and around Calgary?
Not really. Growing up in Ontario, my junior golf days, not too much, really not at all until I, turned professional and played the Canadian Tour and played some events in and around Calgary and driving through. That was kind of my first experience, kind of my early 20s getting out to Calgary. So I've been there a few other times outside of golf, but really, really love the city. Living in Utah, I'm gotten into fly fishing a little bit more in the last couple of years, so hopefully get on the Bow River while I'm up there too.
Yeah, and I don't know of what the schedule will be like. Certainly I know that, as you mentioned, fly fishing maybe a top of that list, but mountain golf, it's big for us here, obviously, in Calgary, and some of the views are incredible, and I know that you're going to be focused on the event, but if you ever do get a chance, I would strongly recommend it, because you can't beat some of those courses out there.
No, exactly, and like I said, living in Utah, coming to college out in Utah and living out here now, it's, pretty similar, climate, similar topography, the altitude, the ball travels a long way, so it's familiar to me, that kind of golf, mountain golf. So I think that's why I like Canyon Meadows. My first time around last year, because it's a similar golf that I play around here.
He is Mike Weir joining us, talking all things golf. Of course, Mike will be out here at the Shaw Charity Classic August 5th to 7th, and you can get your tickets right now. It'll be at Canyon Meadows Golf Course, and of course, the Shaw Charity Classic, as Mike has mentioned a couple of times already, back in full force in 2022. Overall, and in terms of where things are at right now in this country with the game of golf, I know you were just up at the RBC Canadian Open. First of all, let's talk about that. I know the weekend didn't go as well for you in terms of the game, but just the vibe in Toronto and the vibe at that tournament. I mean, we all watched the final round with Rory. Things were pretty incredible out there, weren't they?
It was great to see the fan support after not having an event the last couple of years. And I've told people all along, Canadian fans, I mean, we love our hockey, but we love golf, and the fans really showed that. And up in Toronto, they came out in full force, and they were super excited to see all the top players, and I had great support there. It was great. I came up one shot short of making the cut, which was a bummer, but it was still really special to have that kind of support in the fans. And golf's always been super popular. We got a lot of great players on both men and women's side, so exciting times for Canadian golf right now.
Well, and just for you from a personal standpoint, I know that maybe, you certainly probably don't like to talk about it a lot, Mike, but your win in 2003 at Augusta had really, sparked this next generation of golf. And I know that you were back out there with, playing with some of your Canadian peers at the Masters. Just kind of, I guess, to reflect and look back on that type of opportunity and knowing those guys idolized you while they were growing up. Is that something you take a lot of pride in?
I do. I don't think about it much until it's, kind of brought up. But, I do. When I do hear those things, it just means I'm hopefully paying it forward best I can. And if the guys draw inspiration from me, that hey, Lirzy, you know, did well on the tour and won some tournaments, won the Masters. Like, I can do that too. And it's kind of simple as that. You know, that's kind of how I form my belief system, is getting out on tour and playing with players that, you know, I played with for a few years, and like, they'd have success. And I thought, well, I'm just as good as them. I can do this. And just kind of raising my own expectations and beliefs. And if I can help them do that, that's what it's all about. It's not about me telling them that they should do it a certain way, because everybody has to find their own path and their own way. But just knowing that, you know, what they have within them is good enough, and they can get it done, I think is, you know, that makes me feel good when I hear them tell those kind of stories.
And on the women's side, I mean, you know, certainly you had the record for quite some time of 8 wins by a Canadian golfer on a professional tour. You must be pretty proud, and not sure how much contact you have with Brooke Henderson, Mike, but just in terms of her career and watching what she's been able to do on the women's side, obviously her pioneer being Lori Kane, just talking about her and maybe her success too.
Yeah, I mean, she's obviously a great player and very dynamic player. She has a great golf swing, very powerful, and she's fun to watch. You know, so, you know, Brooke's done great things on the women's tour, and she's, I said, I always enjoy watching her and following her and see what she's up to as well. And I'm sure she's bringing some of the younger Canadian women along as well that are going to have success. So, you know, she's great for our country and great for Canadian golf.
Kind of leads nicely into it was April this year. You were named once again as a international assistant captain with the President's Cup. I know that when you've talked about it in the past, it's one of the highest honors you've ever had in your career. And just the Canadian footprint, I guess, leading into that too, Mike, it's become awesome to see more Canadians involved in the President's Cup. And I guess just your thoughts on being back on that international team this year.
Yeah, it's always an honor to be part of the President's Cup and be part of the team. And you're right. You know, there's potential we could have 1, 2, or even 3 guys make the team. So, you know, it's very exciting for the guys that are close. I had a chance, actually was paired with Adam and Mackenzie at the Canadian Open, and we talked about it quite a bit. And not too much to have it be a distraction, but enough that, you know, you could tell that they're very motivated for it and want to be on the team. And Adam's been on the team a couple of times, and he knows how special it is. So I think Mackenzie's very motivated. And so, you know, Corey Connors obviously is looks like kind of a shoe-in. He's really worked himself into a good position. So the other two guys have a little work to do, but they're looking good as well. So, I mean, for me, it'd be a thrill to have 2 or 3 of the guys on the team. It'd be great for Canadian golf.
No doubt. A few more with Mike Weir, who's joining us now. He'll be a part of the field of the SHOT Charity Classic August 5th through 7th at Canyon Meadows Golf Course. You can get your tickets now at shotcharityclassic.com. We talked about it a little bit with the RBC, and obviously having it back in the PGA Tour circuit was awesome this year with a couple of down years because of COVID. But, you know, we talked about not a lot of time in Calgary. Us golf fans in Calgary just love when this type of stuff is in our city. And I guess for you, where is it just playing in Canada? I mean, certainly it's not Canadian Open, but back at the SHOT Charity Classic and playing in Canada, playing in your home country, and, you know, obviously, you know, playing alongside Stephen Ames, who was a big part of bringing this tournament to Calgary. Is that still something that you love to do and still like to obviously represent Canada, but playing back on your quote-unquote home turf?
Oh, no doubt. You know, anytime you get to play in front of your home fans and play at home is really special. And you know, for Stephen being, you know, spending a lot of time and part of his life in Calgary, and like you said, being a big influence on helping get the event there, you know, I know it's really special for him too. So, and hopefully there'll be a few other Canadians in the field as well. So yeah, anytime you're home, you're excited to be playing in front of fans and make you feel a little more comfortable.
I know that a couple events this year, you guys have been going head-to-head, you and Steven. That's a nice, fun rivalry between two Canucks.
Yeah, I mean, we had, you know, a couple last year as well, but we're competing, and that's the great thing about, you know, turning 50. And I was telling somebody earlier, you know, 50 today isn't like 50, 20, 30 years ago. We're still, yeah. I think we're probably a little bit fitter and pay attention to things a little bit more, and we still have a lot to offer for the fans, you know, to watch and watch, you know, watch us compete, and all of us take pride in our own games and we want to play well. And that goes through the whole tour. I mean, you go out there on any given week and the work ethic these guys have, to play well is still strong. You know, just because we're 50 or even Bernhard Langerskate 64 or 5, you know, that guy works still as hard as anything and wants to do well and still believes he can get better. Just kind of like Arnold Palmer, or, you know, I was talking to Gary Player at the Masters dinner this year, and he's like, you know, Mike, I think I'm 10 years longer this year than last year. I've been working on this. Even at, you know, in his mid-80s, that's what I think people can appreciate about our game, is that it's never ending. We're always trying to work on it. And that's what makes it maybe a little bit different than any other sport, maybe, in my opinion, maybe even a little more special.
Yeah.
Because you can still try to get better at it even – you know, when you're 16 or 68, you know, if you love the game and love to compete, you'll try to find a way to get better.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you look at this field this year, the Shaw Charity Classic, and as we talked about off the top, I mean, this has become a stop that's beloved by a lot of your peers. I mean, a handful of major winners that'll be here at Canning Meadows later on this summer, and, you know, you're bang on. I mean, the one thing that will never leave, and if we've played sport at any level, you know it, but the one thing that never leaves you is that competitive spirit, right?
Yeah, exactly, and, you know, golf's funny that way. I mean, you don't see probably Joe Montana still working on his throwing motion, but he's probably working on his golf game. You know, I mean, you know, golfers are always still working on things where the other sports, when they're retired, they're kind of done with it. And they might play for a little bit of fun, but golf's unique that way. And we all think we can get better. We all work at it. And, you know, if you're a competitive person, you're going to try to find a way.
I guess as we wrap things up, Mike, what's on tap for you here over the next month or so? We mentioned it, and you're not going to be here until the first week of August, but what does preparation look like for you? How many tournaments are you going to play in before the Shaw?
There's just two before the Shaw. There's the we play at Firestone next week, our senior PGA player championship at Firestone, which is a great golf course, and then we go over to Europe to Scotland to Glen Eagles for the Senior British Open. So then we have a week off, and then we come up to Calgary. So it's only a couple tournaments away, and we'll be up there.
And before we let you go, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. I know that talking to the different people that have covered you over your career, for you in terms of things in this stage of your life, Mike, you got a beer going on right now.
I do. Yeah. We started Weir Beer a couple of months ago. We launched it in Ontario, and it's going well, getting great reviews. It's a great lager, light lager. It's kind of, you know, a light, low-carb beer during or after golf. And, yeah, I'm really proud of it. The team at Sean and Ed's Brewery in Dundas have done a great job. And it's been a fun project so far. My brother's involved, and it's been fun.
Hey, what would nothing more Canadian than beer, right, Mike?
Right. Exactly. We'll try to get some up to Calgary so you can try one.
That would be awesome. Really appreciate the time today, man. Check out Weir Beer, obviously, online as well. ShotCharityClassic.com is the website. Mike Weir, along with a handful of major winners, and, of course, Stephen Ames, will be here in our city August 5th through 7th. Mike, looking forward to seeing you out here, man. Thank you for this today.
Appreciate it. Thanks. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
It's Mike Weir, 2003 Masters winner. He's going to be here with some big names in the world of golf. The Shaw Charity Classic has quickly become one of the best stops on the Champions Tour. And Mike joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. 14-time Consumer Choice Award winner for takeout or delivery. Call 403-248-3344 or dine in at Atlas Pizza, 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. Have you ever been to a live golf event, Logan?
I have. I went to the Shaw Charity Classic a couple times before COVID.
Look at you. You're a veteran.
Yeah, sure.
You gonna go back?
I'd like to, yeah.
Pretty good field when you look at who's going to be here. Vijay Singh, I mentioned, Mark O'Meara, Stephen Ames, Mike Weir, Fred Couples, John Daly, Colin Montgomery, and Patrick Harrington, just to name a few, as there's some guys that have got some significant wins on the PGA Tour. It's always a lot of fun. And, of course, the best part about that tournament is the charity tie-in. They continue to raise a ton of money for local charities. And it's back in full force this year. The 2022 Shaw Charity Classic goes at Canyon Meadows August 3rd through the 7th. The tournament, of course, beginning on the 5th. And for more information or to purchase your tickets, go to Shaw Charity Classic. .com. You can also get some information at sportsnet.ca/960, but I would recommend you go to shawcharityclassic.com to purchase your tickets and for more details. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. It's day one of Post Boomer on the morning. This is your only day that you and I will be together this week. That's it.
Yeah, we're breaking up.
Your alarm will not go off early tomorrow.
Thank God.
You are one and done, as they say. It'll be musical chairs throughout the summer, as we've mentioned. Nothing that you see right now on this lineup is permanent. It's very temporary. We're going to have some fun this summer with different combinations of people, and you'll have your full replacements and probably a better idea of what this post-Boomer Morning Show looks like coming up at the end of the summer and into the fall. We are a few days away from the NHL draft. The Flames will not pick in round number one, but we've got full entry draft coverage for you this week. Of course, the Flames do pick in round number two, but we'll have round one coverage Thursday at 5 o'clock, and Friday morning it begins at 9. It's all brought to you by Kinsmen Children's Home Lotto. Purchase your tickets before the July 21st early bird deadline to win the $1.6 million dream home plus $200,000 cash. Visit ChildrensHospitalHomeLottery.com. Please play responsibly. Take a break, come back, recap what was a busy Sunday and a busy weekend in sports. The Pinder Report is next. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. You know when you wake up and you're like, was it a bad dream? Was it all a bad dream? 960-960 Fan Feedback Line is always open to you. Text came in at 626 this morning. Is Boomer and Rhett back in the fall?
Wow.
I hate to break it to you. Rhett, when's the last time Rhett worked here? It was in March.
St. Patty's Day was his last
day.
Well, that's right.
He's gone. And I don't think we did a week-long send-off to Boomer for him to be back in September after just taking a teacher vacation. I believe that that is...
Thursday was pretty emotional. He ain't come back.
Thursday was awesome.
It was awesome, yes. Very emotional.
I believe the podcast is still up and available to you. If you want to go back and listen, you can do that. Of course, you can find all of the Sportsnet programming wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon. Subscribe now. Never miss a show, a moment, a guest, you name it. Be listening in hour two, by the way. We've got your first opportunity to win. Every day this week, you've got a chance to win your way into the Stampede Grounds. As every single day this week, a prize pack consists of two complimentary one-day passes that you can redeem anytime at any of the park entrances, a VIP tour of the Chuckwagon Barn area for you and your guest. That happens on July 13th. Access into the GMC Grandstand for standing room place in the Cowboys Rangeland Derby. Races begin at 8 o'clock. Pre-show begins at 7:30. And a pair of tickets to the rodeo. They will go with every single day. So today's winner will go next Monday. Tuesday winner will go next Tuesday, et cetera, et cetera. We'll have an opportunity for you to win in hour number two. Get your texting fingers and your Stampede trivia. Get that knowledge ready for hour two with your first chance to win. And we'll be doing that in the second hour of every show this week. My name is Will Nault. He is Logan Gordon. Pinder is not here. A couple of texts came in earlier as well asking about Ryan Pinder. His future on this station for the time being is in the afternoon with our good pal Pat Steinberg. They're reuniting that duo.
Pinder and Steinberg. I remember that.
Was together for a very short time, but they're back together beginning tomorrow, I believe. Pinder's still on vacation today. Sandra Priscina filling in for Ryan Pinder. That begins at 3 o'clock with a Stampeder or football hour. And then 4 o'clock through 6 o'clock is Flames Talk with Pinder and Steinberg. But today, Sandra filling in for Ryan Pinder, who will be back, I believe, tomorrow. So
can't get a name for that football show yet, eh?
No, it's been a long wait. Football Hour. Unnamed.
Just going to have to keep it that way.
Steinberg, of course, will also be all over the NHL draft coverage. Round one going on Thursday. The Flames will not pick until round two, which begins Friday morning. All that from Montreal. We've got full coverage for you here on Sportsnet 960. I segue from Ryan Pinder to tell you that the Pinder Report is right now. It's brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street, southeast. And with today's Pinder Report, to recap all of what happened on Sunday and across the weekend, we give the floor to Logan Gordon. Logo, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Patrick Dumas. Good morning, GVP.
Hi.
Let's do this Pinder Report thing. That Pinder's not here anymore. Whatever. We're going to do this anyways. Let's start in baseball. The Jays and the Rays. The finale of a five-game set in Toronto yesterday. Jays took the first two games, dropped the doubleheader on Saturday. So the rubber match goes yesterday. Stripling v. Maz on the mound. Jays down 1-0 after one, but they tie it up in the third.
Boz in the 1-1. Guerrero rips it past the diamond of the third baseman, Paredes, into left field to tie the game. Springer scores. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. delivers his sixth RBI in the last four games. It's a 1-1 game here in the third.
That's good. Ben Wagner on the call. Vladdy heating up, putting up the RBIs for the Jays. They needed it. Unfortunately, the Rays would open this thing up in the fifth inning.
One ball and one strike. The right-hander deals. That pitch is hit on a hard line, deep left field. Back to the wall, Gurriel turns around and it is gone. Rattles in and out of the Blue Jay bullpen. A line drive home run over the wall and left by Harold Ramirez. 0-1, Choi rips it down the line and right. That's headed towards the wall and that ball is gone. Back-to-back home runs off of two different arms for the Rays here in the fifth. The pitch, swinging a high fly ball out to center field. Tapia back at the warning track, turns around at the wall. It hits the top of the fence and bounces out. The third home run for the Rays here in the fifth inning.
You know, today was just a horseshit game, you know, all the way around us.
Not great. Jays would add a couple late, but is a 7-3 final. Jays dropping the final three games of this series to Tampa Bay. Will. No rest for Charlie Montoyo's group. Back in action tonight in Oakland against the lowly A's, looking to end this three-game losing streak that's happened over 2 days with Alek Manoah on the mound.
Well, there's two things, I think, going for the Jays today. Obviously, number one, Alek Manoah on the mound. Every time he pitches, he gives the team a great opportunity to win. And number two, you're playing against a team who is 29 games below 500. And they don't average a lot of fans. I'll be curious to see what the number is today. Of course, it is the 4th of July, but it's a night game, not a day game. I don't think it's going to be sold out, but it might be more than 3,000, which has kind of been their average.
It's just so bad.
Well, I mean,
it's just an awful stadium. Everyone's
beautiful
moving away.
Stadium.
Nah, I don't think so.
Gorgeous.
It's in a parking lot.
It's one of the best in the league.
Very bad neighborhood.
Hey. Did you go to a Raider game there?
No.
Oh, you just, I thought you were speaking from experience.
No, I've been to, I went to a Golden State Warriors game when they were in the same parking lot as the old Raiders A Stadium. Not a great neighborhood. Not a place to leave your car for the night, apparently. So if you want to go watch a terrible team play baseball, sure.
We'll see what happens tonight. 7 o'clock first pitch, as you mentioned. Cole Irvin on the mound for Oakland. He's been pretty good this year, but it's been tough to get run support if you're an Oakland pitcher. And the Blue Jays hoping to begin this seven-game road trip with a victory, a tough end of the weekend with a doubleheader sweep. You don't see that very often. That happened on Saturday, and then Sunday losing as well to the Rays. A lot of time left, but they gave up some ground in the wild card race. They now sit in second place in the wild card hunt. Half a game back of the Red Sox and a half game up on Tampa. And we'll see what happens tonight. Alek Manoah, I will say, is a lot of fun to watch. Throw, one of those guys that is full of emotion, brings the heat, and usually gets pissed off if he gets pulled from the game. So that's kind of what you want.
A's home record's also terrible. They've won 8 games at home this year, Will.
Well, when you play in front of 600 fans, Logan, it's tough.
Yikes.
8-28.
That's not good. That's really, really putrid.
Worst home record in the league by a mile.
Oh, it's not even close.
believe Cincy is next at 13-25. That's Kansas City at 14-25. Yeah, 8-28, no good.
8-28, gross. We'll have the game for you here on Sports.
So are you telling people to bet on the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I think you can hammer the Jays tonight and you do okay. Woo! All right, that's the Jays story. Some baseball highlights from last night. A couple of really interesting games. We'll start with the Astros and the Angels. Some history in this one for Houston.
Down to the count here, 1-2. Wow, and he gets called out. Swing and a miss. Swing and a miss. Framber Valdez with 10 strikeouts. And that is a new career high. Framber Valdez, a dozen strikeouts, getting Shohei Ohtani.
That wasn't even the last strikeout. He would get Ohtani for number 12. He would have 13 strikeouts in the game over six innings, Will. Two earned runs for Framber Valdez. His team not able to get a lead in this one. We are tied heading into the ninth inning. Houston with 20 strikeouts combined in the game. Valdez and three relievers, but somehow this game is tied heading into the ninth inning where they would walk it off.
So now Jeremy Pena will bat. He's faced to pair it twice and lined out both times. Pena hits one to center field. Back goes Trout. Still going back. He's at the wall. Ball game over! Two walk-off home runs to center field in Pena's rookie season.
4-2 your final. Not a good series for the Oakland A's and for Mike Trout.
LA Angels. Not the Oakland.
Why did I say Oakland A's?
Wake up.
It's too early.
How about the weekend for Mike Trout,
not
by
good.
The way? 0 for 11 with 9 strikeouts.
He's now 0 for 14.
In his last three and a half games, he started off the game on June 29th with a double. And if you go back all the way to June 27th, his last six games, Mike Trout 2 for 23.
7 strikeouts in the first two games against Houston as well.
Not great, Bob.
Nah.
Yes, 2 for 23, 12 strikeouts for Mike Trout. The good news, both those base hits were extra bigs. A double and a home run. But yeah, the LA Angels, boy.
Whew.
What a disastrous season this has turned out to be. They started out well. We thought, hey, maybe October baseball for the Angels. No.
They have these Hall of Famers.
Gross. Now they got to re-sign Ohtani. They're going to have like $100 million in three players. One of them never plays in Anthony Rendon. One of them is probably fed up by now, but who knows what Mike Trout's thinking. And will Ohtani even want to re-sign there? It'll be fun to watch it all play out. And I do think at some point here, at least I just hope this as a baseball and sports fan, hope at some point we see Mike Trout wearing a different uniform in his career. Because it's been a bit of a waste with the Angels.
Yeah, just playoffs would be nice. Let's see Mike Trout in some games that mean something.
He's played in three playoff games.
It's not a lot.
Hey.
Not great. Cubs Red Sox. This one tied 2-1 heading into the bottom of the eighth inning.
Tied 2-1? Like, what's going
tied
on over
2-1.
There?
It's not. You know, this ties it up. This ties it. It was 2-1.
Deep left center. Back it goes. Out of here. Wisdom ties it up.
Tied at 2-1, baby.
Patrick Wisdom ties the game.
Tied
Red Sox
at 2-1.
Led it 2-1. Cubs look like they could maybe come back in this thing, but in the 11th, they decide to throw it all away.
Pitch. A little chopper out front of the plate. The catcher gives way to the pitcher who throws it away! And here comes the go-ahead run. Here comes another run home. And the throw to the plate is spiked and scoring as well on the play. Red Sox get two. Arroyo scoring after Dahlbeck. Oh, what a gift for the Red Sox. They lead it 4-2.
That's your final through 11. Not good for the Cubs. 32-47 on the year. Red Sox keeping things interesting. They start a series with the Rays this morning, Will. 11:35 first pitch from Boston. Rays currently sitting fourth in the AL East, 43-36, while the Red Sox, second at 44-35. Things getting very interesting around the Blue Jays in a competitive AL East.
Red Sox did not have a good start to the year, but they've been much better the last two-plus months. And yes, they have the first wild card spot. Been a huge turnaround in Boston. I believe they were dead last in the AL East after the first 2 weeks of the year, but that's why it's 162 games. Lots can change, and the Red Sox look much better. They should get Chris Sale back, too, on July 11th. So next Monday, expecting to see Chris Sale for the first time this season.
One more game to get to from the majors last night. This one also going to extra innings. It's the Marlins and the Nationals tied at 4 in the 10th.
That one backhanded and trickles into center field. A run is going to score on the hot shot to second base off the bat of Brian Anderson.
You have Birdie up with man on first and second.
Birdie out toward right field. That is going to get down a base hit. Stallings being waved around. It's Hernandez with it. Throw goes to third. Anderson is safe, and he keeps his toe on the bag. Stallings scores. Birdie comes through, and the Marlins get their second run this inning.
Well, now Wendell with Birdie at first base. Anderson at third. Marlins up by 2 in the 10th.
Ground ball, base hit. That'll be another run. Anderson in to score on the Wendell RBI, and it's 7-4 Marlins.
Marlins put up 3 in the 10th to down the Nationals 7-4. Washington with all sorts of problems. Well, what's happening with Juan Soto? Apparently rejecting another massive extension offer from Washington. They are 29-52, fifth in the NL East. They fall at Nationals Park yesterday to the Marlins 7-4.
It's amazing how much can change after you win a world title. It just has not worked in Washington.
No.
Not a good team, man. I think there is a lot of legitimate questions about the future of Juan Soto.
Let's move to the NHL. NHL draft approaches. Round one goes Thursday. Another weekend goes by. Another few days without news on Flames star Johnny Gaudreau. But we did have some NHL news to get to over the weekend.
We have a trade to announce.
Yes, the Tampa Bay Lightning begin their annual offseason purge to stay competitive, this time shipping out defenseman Ryan McDonagh to Nashville in exchange for defenseman Philippe Myers and forward Grant Mishmash. McDonagh turned 33 in June. 4 years left on his deal, the cap hit of $6.75 million. In return, Philippe Myers, he's 25. He's got 1 year left on a deal that pays him just over $2.5 million. There was some talk about him potentially getting bought out, Will. GM Julien Brisebois squashing that idea yesterday. They're expecting to have Philippe Myers in their lineup starting next year. Mishmash, a second-round pick back in 2017 of the Preds. He has not played in an NHL contest yet. For Ryan McDonagh, meeting the Nashville media over the weekend, looks back on some great memories in his time in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I could obviously talk for hours about the group there and all the memories and whatnot. I mean, there's no doubt, you know, winning your first cup, that feeling that we had, so many guys on the team there that have been through a lot together, you know, losing in the first round, getting swept, and then finding a way to come back and win the cup. Like I said, a lot of ours first time feeling there, nothing nobody can take away. So just to be able to go through those long days in the bubble and stick together as a family, it's pretty incredible. That'll be a lasting memory for sure.
Thoughts on McDonagh to Nashville, Will?
Big move. I don't know if I expected Nashville to be the landing spot. Of course, we had news last week that McDonagh was likely the odd man out in Tampa as they look to clear some cap space and try to retain as much as they can off their current roster. So, yeah, I didn't know if I expected Nashville to be the team, but obviously McDonagh agreeing to waive his no move to go to Nashville. And why not? I mean, the Preds have had a long history of great defensemen who have played for him. And it makes sense on that front. And if you're Tampa, you just cleared over $4 million in cash space. And we'll be curious to see what else Julian Breezeball can do. He's one of the best at making every penny count. And, of course, I think number one on his list is trying to find a way to bring back Andre Palat. I think they still need to do maybe one more move to make that happen. But, yeah, this is a step in the right direction. And, of course, I think you're probably going to go there now. But they did make a signing over the weekend as well.
Tampa?
Yes. They signed Nick Paul to a seven-year deal, $3.15 million. So
starting to use some of that cap space already.
Yeah, it'll be curious to see. I still think it's going to be really tough to bring back Palat. I just think his market's going to be bigger, and maybe Palat loves it so much that he's willing to take a discount, but does feel like we're probably seeing the end of his time in Tampa, but we'll wait and see. There's still 8-9 days to go before free agency.
Sticking with hockey, the coaching carousel continues, and it's a return to Winnipeg for a familiar face.
That's it! Back to Winnipeg!
Yes, it's back to Winnipeg for Rick Bowness, the 67-year-old, most recently serving as the head coach of the Dallas Stars, a second-round pick in the 1975 NHL draft by the Atlanta Flames. His NHL career spanning 173 games for Atlanta, Detroit, St. Louis, and Winnipeg. Bowness played 45 games for the Jets, first version, back in 1980-81. Played and coached with the organization for 9 seasons. He spent 82-83 season as a player coach for the Jets' AHL affiliate in Sherbrooke. Retired the following season to become an assistant coach for Winnipeg. Worked 3 seasons as an assistant with the Jets before serving as head coach and GM of their AHL affiliate, the Moncton Hawks. Bowness took over as Winnipeg's head coach February 9th, 1989, leading them to an 8-17-3 record. Obviously, the Jets having to pivot after their first choice. Well, last week or so, Barry Trotz announcing that he wouldn't be coaching this year. They go with Rick Bowness, and sounds like a 2-year deal for Bowness in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I believe the Jets, one of the first to have a official opening behind the bench, and the 11th team to fill that void. You could tell how long they were waiting for Barry Trotz. They had to pivot, and they go with Rick Bowness, a guy who is a lifer, coached over 2,500 games. Of course, not all those games as a head coach, but that's a long time behind an NHL bench, and he brings that wealth of experience to Winnipeg, which I would think, and we'll talk about this more coming up in Hour 3, but it feels like now all the focus is on what does this team look like on the ice, because there's a lot of questions about this core group, and potentially maybe a franchise ready to hand the reins or the torch off to the younger side of it, Nikolaj Ehlers, Kyle Connors. We'll see what happens, of course. Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler being the biggest question marks. Pierre-Luc Dubois informing them he wants to test free agency in a couple of years. Be a interesting week in Winnipeg. They picked twice, by the way, in the first round of Thursday's draft.
Other NHL coaching news from the weekend, in case you missed it. Bruins naming another former Stars bench boss as their next head coach. That's Jim Montgomery. He's the 29th head coach in franchise history. He served as an assistant coach for St. Louis for the past 2 seasons. And the San Jose Sharks, with a bit of a surprising move over the weekend, they have fired head coach Bob Boutner, assistant coaches John Madden, John McClain, and Dan Darrow were also let go. So 2 coaching vacancies closed, Will, and 1 opening up in San Jose.
Yeah, all odd timing in San Jose. I know Elliot Friedman made reference to this. I mean, puts Boutner in a tough spot with all the other vacancies filled up. But you do wonder if maybe Andrew Brunette finds himself in San Jose.
Yeah, got to see what happens. No, they're late to the party, but maybe they have a candidate in mind.
They don't even have a GM. They've got an interim GM.
Didn't even want the coach, I guess. So. Weird. Yeah, there's your NHL news. Quickly moving to the NBA.
Boom, shakalaka!
Interesting reports over the weekend, Will, that the Brooklyn Nets and LA Lakers in works on a potential trade that involves Kyrie Irving and Russell Westbrook. This coming from Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports. Two teams hopeful they can complete a deal at some point this offseason. Irving recently picked up his $36.5 million player option to remain in Brooklyn, but doesn't sound as though that's going to be the case. Westbrook also opted into a player option this offseason. He sticks with the Lakers on a $47 million contract, so we'll see if that deal comes to fruition. And the Kevin Durant sweepstakes, still up in the air, but an interesting team has popped up when you listen to the odds makers as to who Kevin Durant might play for next year, Will. As of right now on DraftKings, the Toronto Raptors have the second best odds of landing Kevin Durant. The Phoenix Suns still your leaders, minus 130, but the next up, the Toronto Raptors at plus 250. No one else on DraftKings is even within plus 1,000.
The biggest question for the Raptors is, do you want to part with Scotty Barnes? Your rookie of the year, and it sounds like any deal with Brooklyn involving Kevin Durant would start with Scotty Barnes. And not sure that makes a lot of sense for Toronto, but it's not like you're getting, it's not like the Kawhi deal. You're not getting 1 year of Kevin Durant. He signed for a few more seasons, so I guess you can maybe understand it, but it just feels like a team that's fairly in love with their youngster, and I'm not sure they'd be willing to part with Scotty Barnes just yet, if ever.
And last but not least, week four of the CFL wraps up tonight. It's the Andrew Harris revenge game. Winnipeg at Toronto, 5:30 kickoff. Andrew Harris limited in practice this week. Questionable, but says he's going to play in this game against his former team. And a CFL trade over the weekend, the Rough Riders announcing a trade with the Alouettes. They've acquired American wide receiver and kick returner Mario Alford. In exchange, Montreal receives the Rough Riders' sixth-round pick in the 2023 CFL draft.
And shout out, I saw someone on the text line mention this. Yes, I'm not a huge fan myself, but the UFC card on the weekend was something special. UFC 276, a lot of massive moments. It was all over social media on Saturday night, and just want to give a shout out to that because Adesanya now is 23-1 after a fifth round victory in decision. Seemed to be a great card. I didn't watch any of it, but everyone was talking about it on Saturday. This is where you need Steinberg and or Peter Klein to be here.
Yeah, you need PK to break it down.
Combat Central, baby. Shout out.
The good days.
Thank you, Logan. That is Logan's edition of the Pinder Report. Brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in the state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street. Southeast. Please continue to chime in at 960-960. We'll be using that fan feedback line in hour two. Your opportunity to win your way in to the Calgary Stampede Rodeo and Rangeland Derby. That coming up in hour two, along with a visit from our CFL insider, Justin Dunk. Plus, the latest, Logan mentioned it there briefly in the Pinder Report, but nothing concrete. But the biggest news or the latest from the Johnny Gaudreau situation, courtesy our NHL insider, who will join us tomorrow, by the way, Frank Saravelli of Daily Faceoff. All that as we roll into hour number two of the Big Show Morning Edition. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.